You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Motormania with Damien Reid.
Noel Ebden is in the studio this morning. Good morning, Noel.
Morning. How's it going?
Good to have you back. Bit of Lenny Kravitz to wake everyone up on a Saturday morning.
Well,
that's the way to do it, isn't it, eh?
Got some good tunes on it.
Yes.
Excellent. Very happy with that.
So this weather has been absolutely perfect for running around in a convertible. And what have you been doing?
Funny that, isn't it? Yeah.
You've been in not one, but
two convertibles. Two in a row as well, yeah.
And just checking out a cheeky Aston Martin on your way through.
You know how life is. Look, I finally, after how many years in being a journalist, motoring journalist, I finally got behind the wheel of a Morgan.
Yes.
Thanks to the guys at Adamas Motors. It was a plus four. You drove the...
Yeah, I drove the six.
Was it the six you drove?
Yeah.
Right, cool.
Yeah.
So I drove the plus four, which was amazing.
Now that's... Okay, mechanically, tell me the package.
Right. So now that's the only question mark I have on it. It's got the... You had to go to that, didn't you? I was going to tell you all the amazing things about it. But,
okay, now tell me the amazing things and we'll fill the rest in.
Right. First of all, this is a handmade car.
Yes.
It looks like it was made in the 60s. Anyone who knows Morgan will know what I'm talking about. This is not a daily driver, although I did drive it daily.
Yeah.
There's nothing inside. Right, you compare your phone to a tiny little screen behind the dash, a bit behind the steering wheel, sorry, and it does have AC, but it has very little else. And I love it for all those reasons, right? It is absolutely fantastic.
And you're pretty much sitting on the diff.
Yeah, you're sitting in it. It's like sitting in a, I don't know, it's like sitting in your bathtub.
Yeah.
And you're down low. A lot of people in big SUVs can't see you, but... It is so much fun to drive. It is proper motoring. If you're into your cars, you have got to drive a Morgan.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, just looking down the bonnet with the Louvre girl bonnet and the, you know, the disappearing off in front of you.
I kind of consider it as being like almost the best of both worlds if you're a classic car geek, but you don't want to go through the bad stuff of classic cars.
Yes.
So modern running gear,
yep.
But it looks cool. It feels old to drive, but it's still got, you know, it's a modern fuel-injected motor that runs on the fuel, no problem at all. It's going to start every day. You don't have to, you know, rebuild carburetors and all that kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
But it looks cool.
Exactly. And there was a couple of funny things about it. It had 15-inch chrome-spoked center lock wheels on it, which are like, who has 15-inch rims these days? But which I love.
I do.
Yeah, you do on your car. Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Yeah. That's actually, I forgot about that. Yeah, good point.
No, actually, the 14. Sorry.
And the roof. Yeah. You have to take the roof down yourself. You have to unclip it and fold it back. All these things. But you're absolutely right. It is a modern car, right? So it's not going to cause you problems. If I had to find fault with it, it's that it's got a BMW, it's got the 2-litre twin-turbo BMW motor in it.
Yep.
And the only thing I didn't like about it was that the soundtrack doesn't match the car, if that makes sense.
Yeah, true.
It pops and whistles like a boy racer sort of Golf GTI type thing, but looks like a Morgan. That's the only thing that I didn't. Everything else I love. I mean, it does... I mean, the thing weighs 1,000 kilograms. I mean, just over 1,000 kilograms. I mean, it weighs nothing and goes like. Oh, I mean, it's very, very fast as well. And you do tend to drive it quite quick because it encourages you to do so, right? So, you know, top speed 240 kilometers per hour. I'm not quite sure if anyone's ever actually attempted that. I don't think you'd want to, but it's fantastic. I absolutely loved it. It's what I would call an experience car. And if you can afford one, 372, by the way, is the starting price for the Plus 4. If you can afford one, get one and put it in your garage and use it during the winter. And it does have AC, so you can use it in the summer.
Yeah.
But have it as your toy for the winter. It is fabulous.
So then how does that compare to the Ford Mustang?
Well, the Ford Mustang. Okay, the Ford Mustang, I don't think you get a tour of the factory, which you do with the Morgan.
No.
So, I shall be knocking on Chris's door to try and get a tour of the factory. But anyway, the Mustang is the all new 2024 Mustang, and I would say, I know we've used this a million times, but it's evolution, not revolution.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look massively different from the from the last year's Mustang.
Yeah.
A few sort of overhangs and, you know, a few lighting changes and stuff like that. But really nice car. Really, really nice. Lovely to drive. Very easy to drive. The Mustang always has been.
Yeah.
What generation do you reckon we're on?
Seven?
Oh, good. Spot on. Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Seventh generation. Now, starts at about 220, mm-hmm. but that's for the smaller engine. The V8 is a little bit more, but you get a five-year, 100,000-kilometre service package with it as well, which is good, and a warranty, of course. They've brought out one called the Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Which is a special edition, which I didn't see. I drove the 5-litre convertible. It has the weirdest handbrake in the history of weird handbrakes.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's kind of like a dead handbrake. You pull it up and it's all rubbery and you push it down to switch it off. But it looks like a normal handbrake. Yes. Yeah, it's not like a switch or anything like that, or an old school ratchet handbrake. Now this is the most amazing bit. Inside, it is like being in a fighter jet. You've got two massive screens, right? You've got a 12.4-inch screen in front of you, full digital screen, and you've got a 13.2-inch screen in the centre, sort of joined together. You know how everybody's doing it now, right? But big wraparound screen. You feel like you're playing a computer game when you're in the car. I don't like the adjustments for the AC because you've got to do it on the touch screen, and it's a bit kind of challenging when you're trying to drive. But to drive, it's brilliant. Soundtrack is amazing on it. And it's got four settings for the exhaust. It's got track, street plus, street, and don't annoy the neighbours.
Exactly.
and the difference between don't annoy the neighbours and track is incredible. It's a massive, massive difference. So, it's really, really good. 10-speed automatic transmission. And for all the proper car fans out there, special order, you can get a 6-speed manual.
Way to go. There you go.
Good on Altair. I love it. Special order only, but you can order a 6-speed manual. Absolutely love it.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Now, very quickly, you've been a busy boy. Aston Martin.
You've got
60 seconds.
Oh, 60 seconds. Right. Aston Martin. I didn't drive it. I went to the launch at the Bulgari Hotel Yacht Club. It's a 4-litre twin-turbo V8. It is the fastest ever Vantage. 655 horsepower. 800 newton meters of torque. Okay, so we're looking at,
my goodness,
325 kilometers per hour top speed and 3.4 seconds, and the car only weighs 1600 kilograms.
Okay,
so that is light.
Yes.
Weight distribution 50-50 front to rear.
Really? Okay. Yeah, because it's like all Aston Martins, it's a central front engine mounted car, so the engine is behind the front axle.
Exactly. Yeah, so they've pushed the engine back, so that car will be a proper driver's car on track. The only thing I didn't like about it was the front grille. I think they've opened up the front grille a bit too much. You can see a lot through the grille, whereas I liked the old tighter grilles.
Yeah.
But it's a much bigger grille, and it's giving them a load more. I think it's about, they gave some figure, I can't know. I think it's 29% more increased airflow through the front to keep the engine cool.
Okay.
Because they're doing so, because it's got so much more power, they're trying to push more.
Turbocharging as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're trying to push more power through it. So I don't even need to say it, but it's beautiful. I don't know how they keep doing it every single time. Aston Martin, every time.
Amazing stuff. Incredible stuff. So after the break, when you're talking to in the Changiato about the Mazda MX-5, I'll be talking to you about the Chinese cars we've been driving, the Exceed VX, and we're going to leave you with a text message from Finn. Thanks, Finn. When you drive the Morgan Plus 4, do you have to wear Plus 4s? Maybe on the fairways in Scotland. Thanks, Finn, for that. You're listening to Motor Mania with Im Changiato and Noel Ebden in the studio on Dubai 103.8.
You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Motor Mania on Dubai 103.8.
Yes, welcome back. This is Motor Mania. I'm your host, Damien Reid, and I'm joined by Noel Ebden and Im Changiato in the studio. And it's been a convertible kind of week. We've just been listening to Noel about the Ford Mustang and the Morgan. Over to you, Im Changiato. Carry on the theme.
I know, right? What's happening? It's open top weekend on Motor Mania. MX-5, what's there to say? I'll get the boring stuff out of the way first. 2-litre engine, automatic only, 150,000 dirhams from Galadari. And they do not actually bring that many of them. So you might have to ask very nicely because they don't keep them in stock very often. But the people who are in the know buy MX-5s.
Yeah.
And if you wonder why you're buying such a tiny little car, right? It's unusual because Mazda doesn't make cars like this anymore. They make a lot of semi, almost luxury Japanese premium SUVs. But the MX-5 lives, and it is, as Noel said, the spirit of motoring. I have almost nothing to complain about with this car. There are two issues, and I'll get them out of the way very early. If you're very tall, you will not fit. If you're very wide, you will not fit. It also has this weird thing where it has a touchscreen, but it only works when you're stopped.
That's me and you out now for very different reasons.
The two of you in this car would be hilarious.
We've squeezed into an E-Type. You've seen that before.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen. But I used to go out with my old colleague. I had an MX-5 before, and we used to look like Noddy and Big Ears in this thing because he was very tall and I was quite wide. So it looked quite hilarious. But the car is so much fun. Apart from the fact that you can't do car, it is wireless CarPlay, but you can't control it on the move except via a knob controller, which is weird. Mazda sort that out. It has a great AC. It has CarPlay. It has a great stereo. It has little speakers in the headrests. So when you take a call, all the speakers die except the ones behind your ear. So it's like somebody's whispering in your ear. It's really weird, but it's also really cool.
That is clever.
So basically, you're constantly getting the phone calls. So you don't shout because somebody's right next to your ear. Yeah. So it's fine. You're not shouting.
Can they hear you though?
Perfectly. Oh, right. Perfectly. Wow. It has a great heater. So basically I was doing legally mandated 120 and no problem at all. You could have the top down and carry on conversation and be comfortable. And it was just such a joy to drive. I think there's nothing much to complain about these cars, and we should all buy them because they don't make them like this anymore. I've been reading a lot of reports, actually. That's curious because nobody has reviewed an MX-5 since 2016 or whenever it came out. A lot of people complain about things like, oh, it rolls a lot. It's got dead steering. Listen, I've driven that car for real. Internet jockeys, get out of the way. That thing drives great. It does roll quite a bit. It kind of rolls over and you're like, oh, hang on a minute. But then you just trust it. And you get through the corner, and it makes every corner fun. Going to Spinneys, it's fun. Going up Jebel Jais, it's fun.
It's probably narrow enough where you haven't left the lane yet, so you can apex corners.
Oh, no, you feel like you're going a million kilometers
an hour. And you haven't left the lane, so you're not actually breaking any laws.
It does have a lane keep system. It's very annoying. It has a big button that turns it off. So in Mazda, straight away, and you're like, yeah, we don't want you to actually bother with any of this. But it even has a decent boot. It is comfortable. It has nowhere to put your phone. It has nowhere to do the life stuff that matters. But the moment you sort of hand the keys back, you're plotting to buy one. That's the best way to describe it.
I think you just described a Morgan as well. Pretty much in the same. This is like modern day Morgan, you know?
Yeah, but why don't car makers
make it? It is a modern day Lotus, isn't it? That's where it came from.
MX-5 is basically a bespoke chassis. So is the Morgan, right? Yeah. That's why these cars are so low volume, so complicated to make. But I don't understand. If you can make a million SUVs, make some of the good stuff. Mazda can do it. They're a tiny car company. Mm. And it is the soul of the company, just like the Ford Mustang. My fear is that as companies sort of rationalize and move towards electric future, etc., they just don't want to make cars less anymore because it doesn't make sense on a balance sheet. Mm. And if you get into it and your partner or whatever says, oh, it's practical, it doesn't matter. You put them behind the wheel for 2 minutes, they'll be begging you to buy one.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah,
hit the nail on the head. For sure. Keeps the emotion back in motoring, which is what we desperately need. Now, on a totally different theme, and I did enjoy it, but not for those reasons. We're talking about Chinese cars. So first things first, would you drive a car that spoke to you like this?
Hello, don't look around while driving. Safe driving is more important.
Or even like this.
Hello, where are you looking? Don't wander while driving.
Don't wander or don't wonder?
Yeah, so
I do a lot of wandering.
So let's knock this on the head. We're now getting cars with attitude. And after a few days of driving the Exceed VX, it and I had to have a small chat about where this relationship was going.
Right.
Because I enjoyed the car, but I didn't like the passive aggressiveness that was going on inside the cabin.
Didn't Elvis shoot his car? That would be my move.
We ended up getting on fine, but it did make me wonder, how far are we going with driver assistance in cars? That's a story for another day that we'll come to later on. But if you remember last year, Motormania hosted one of our shows from the Exceed showroom down there on Etihad Road near the airport. They just launched the RX, and we received some really good feedback from that one. But get this. I mean, that was barely 6 months ago.
Mm.
And they've already rolled out a new model for that one. So that is the timeline now.
They're on the move, aren't they? They are on the move.
And it is the VX. Before we get into it, I've got to defend myself about this passive-aggressive woman that was telling me to keep my eye on the road.
It's not a real person. You do know that, don't you?
I know, but we're having real-world arguments in the car, I tell you. because they came not while I was gazing around, looking at shops and looking at the scenery instead of the road, as it was made to sound. I was actually checking for cars in the lane that I was merging into. I was checking for cars on a roundabout that I was about to access. I was even checking the centre screen
Actually happened.
And I was looking in the rearview mirror. I was checking the rearview mirror. Exactly. None of which are dangerous and should actually, guys, should still be done as part of your safe driving habits. Check your mirrors.
How dare you look in the mirror?
But apparently I was being told not to. So that's a bit of constructive feedback for the team back there about that one. But anyway, the VX, full-size flagship, it's above the rakish RX, the medium TXL and the smaller LX. And as I said, Exceed is the premium badge of the Chery group of cars. They've poached some really top-notch designers from the European. So BMW, Jaguar Land Rover, a couple of other European brands. So it looks and feels very European inside.
Lovely showroom as well.
It's a beautiful showroom, yeah. It's very Mercedes feel inside the car, S-classy. So, you know, you can the seats, the speaker grills, the switch gear, that sort of thing. In fact, they've claimed to have the production itself is now carried out in a facility that's been jointly created by them and Jaguar Land Rover. Yes, exactly. Okay. So a bit like
big question mark. Lotus just went above my head.
Well, yeah. Lotus has a factory in Wuhan.
Yeah,
JLR obviously has a factory on the side there in China where they're working on these cars as well. There's a choice of 6 and 7 seaters with this one. Ours was the 6 seat with the 2 captain's chairs in the middle of the road. Includes a 12.3-inch digital instrument panel, which is part of a massive 40.6 inches of triplex screen across the front of the car.
I was showing off with my Mustang screens, and you've just completely blown it out of the water.
Yeah, but then I got told off for looking at them, so, you know, it all balances out. 23-speaker sound system with 3D sound.
23 speakers.
It's phenomenal. Noise cancellation, you got seat massaging, got heating and ventilation.
More speakers than screws.
It's crazy. You got... I think they're 23-inch rims on this one. So the base model gets 19-inch.
23-inch rims?
Yeah.
Wowzers.
Panoramic sunroof, 3-zone AC, leather upholstery, 6-way power adjustable seats, all that kind of thing. The base model gets an 8-speaker Sony system as well. You've got a lot of safety features on it, 26 apparently. I didn't try them all.
It may have told you a few of them.
Exactly. 10 curtain airbags. Cameras, the whole lot. Now, underneath the system, you've got a BorgWarner all-terrain, all-drive system, but it in no way pretends to be an off-road vehicle, so don't even think about it. But it does have the BorgWarner kit underneath it. 2-litre engine. It's matched up to an Asian 8-speed auto transmission, which, for those who don't know, is the same transmission, or the same company, because it's the same 8-speed box that's used in Lexus. So it's a good unit.
Okay.
7 driving modes, 261 horsepower, 400 newton meters, but it is 1.9 ton. So it needs a few revs to get that mass moving. I'm just glad that box is not a CVT. It is a proper automatic. So it did its job.
That's nearly twice the Morgan's weight.
Yeah, I know.
Two very different customers.
Yes.
Slightly different.
24-inch alloys, as I said. Pricing starting at $154,999 to just under $200,000 for the model that we had. There's the luxury, the flagship, and the executive. So you consider it an alternative to the likes of the Hyundai Palisade, the Kia Telluride, and the Mazda CX-9 in that one. So, it's distributed, as I said, through AG Auto, which is part of the mobility division of Algarer. I was speaking to, just quickly before we go to the ad break, Ricky Mullins, who's the Senior Vice President at Exceed, during the launch of this car a few weeks ago.
The RX had done so much in its launch, and that translated into sales beyond our expectation. And of course, at that time, everybody was saying, is this the flagship? And I was always like, no, it's not. The VX is. So the VX is the flagship. The traditional is always the biggest, is, you know. So you're right. We never had a 6-seat before, which moves it into a very executive, premium luxury style. But of course, the main theme is always having a 7-seat vehicle. So this is definitely our flagship vehicle. What I love about it with the next generation, yet we know and we can say technology is everything. Of, you know, we talk about cutting edge, but even I can't keep up with what we've got in this car. Number one is our safety and the focus on the safety of the vehicle. And of course, being a family vehicle, that is absolutely paramount. Then there is the refinement and the comfort and the drive. Then there's total cost of ownership, which nobody ever gets into. And I think we touched on that before. This is reachable premium luxury. It's at people's grasp now. You know, whereas before you would spend, dare I say, 400,000-500,000 dirhams. You know, we're not talking that. We don't even get to 200,000. We're not even close to that with our new model. So, you know, where we start at 155, and the top options of the flagship, which is 7-seat, and the executive, 170. 7-year warranty.
Yeah.
You know, 7-year roadside assistance. So now total cost of ownership, it's really, really nailed on for the customer. Everything that we've thought about has been all about the customer during their ownership.
We haven't really spoken since August last year, and even though it only seems like yesterday, in the car world this year, that seems like dog years, because we've had so many new brands launch, the Chinese market in particular. We've had BYD, we had Chery, others coming in. We're talking about a market that has moved dramatically in the last 12 months. Just like to get your thoughts very quickly on where you see the Chinese car market move since we did that event at your showroom.
Even I struggle to keep up with it. I mean, you know, so many brands are launched and yet to be launched. Somebody asked me 5 years ago, do you think Chinese brands will have a break? And I said, well, it's already taken place and it's going to continue to take place. They're here. And it's not about, are they good cars? They are good cars. You know, and I'm speaking unbiasedly now. But if you go and look at all the other brands, they all make a good car. Let's be honest. Chinese brands are here to stay. And where their USP comes from is their technology. And it is breathtaking speed. So those drivers that want, you look at the technology, you traditionally see it in European brands where they're more advanced coming to market with that. Now the Chinese have come in. So you look at it from a brand perspective and then a technology. And the Chinese are saying, I know, we can do this. And we can do this at affordable rate, so it becomes reachable. The reliability is definitely there. Everybody wants to know, is the car reliable? That's the first question. What's my backup? What's my support? What's the next question? And then you've got that refinement, and then you've got that technology. It's here. It's not going anywhere. Other brands, you know, that are traditional need to stand back and look and see where this is going. It's just going to continue to grow and explode. That's where it is.
Yeah, so that was Ricky Mullins, the Senior Vice President of Exceed Motors, talking about the new Exceed VX that was launched last week that we've just been driving this week. Up next, after the break, well, there are many females who are thriving in the UAE's automotive industry, and we're catching up with one of them in a moment. She's a good friend of Motomania and has recently led the first ever auction at RM Sotheby's. So we're going to be talking auctions, cars and careers in cars with none other than Rita Medji. Straight after this, this is Motomania, Dubai 103.8.
You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Motomania with Damien Reid.
Welcome back. This is Motomania. I'm your host, Damien Reid, and I'm joined by Noel Ebden and Inta Shanjiato in the studios. Now, we can't be accused of being an all-male crew, although it does weigh on our minds every now and then, but we always have great, lots of female callers here on Fix It or Flip It, and we do love it when we are joined by a female guest who is making waves in the world of the automotive industry here in the region. And of course, today we're joined by, good friend of Motomania and one of the most respected females in the automotive industry here. To give you an idea, she's head up the regional comms for one of the biggest automotive conglomerates in the world, being Stellantis, the fourth largest automaker in sales, as well as more bespoke, passionate brands such as Ferrari and Maserati. And of course, I'm talking about none other than Rita Medji in the studio. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning, Damien. What an intro.
Blimey.
Yeah. Of course
I didn't know, and I'm sat next to her. I'm a bit scared now.
Always a pleasure to have you back in the show. You've been exceptionally busy in the last few months, and we've been trying to work on this since about the third quarter of last year, but of course you've had lots going on with your role at RM Sotheby's now. So let's get straight into it. The inaugural Dubai auction happened a few weeks ago under cloudy skies, in the geographic sense and not in sales sense at all, because it was in the middle of all the rains that were carrying on. A fantastic collection of motor cars, memorabilia, watches. Tell me more about it. How did that go?
Well, it went all right, Damien.
Despite the weather.
Despite the weather and the many friendly obstacles that we've crossed. It went. It was spectacular. What can I tell you? It was the first ever auction held in Dubai, and we really wanted to stress on the fact that we wanted to diversify. First of all, what we had on display, what we had on offer. Especially that RM Sotheby's main task and also my personal task is really to diversify the automotive segments here, because as you know, my background is purely modern and supercars, and I wanted to, you know, like diversify it in the sense that I wanted to see more classic cars on the road. So that was the perfect opportunity for us to, you know, play and plug with a couple of retro mode cars, a couple of classics, and a couple of things that are that you don't see around here. And it was a success because we sold, it was the first time that we sold so many lots. So we had 88.9% of lots sold.
Wow, that's very good.
It was really brilliant. And it's the first time that we had 53% of new bidders on an auction, which means that we've done our job in reaching out of all those potential prospects, bidders, people that were interested in transacting with us previously.
Were they mostly from around here or a mix from international?
No, they were mostly all from around here.
Fantastic.
I must say, proudly.
So hopefully a lot of that stuff, I'm not going to call it stuff, that's disrespectful. A lot of those beautiful cars.
Stuff.
I do apologise. We'll be staying
Damien
here.
That's Damien no longer presenting at Irish Holidays.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
$17 million of from what I've been told too. So congratulations,
Thank you. Thank you.
You described this as a milestone in your career. Tell me why.
It's funny you ask this question, Damien, because I was with manufacturers almost all of my career, so for the past 15 years, and then there is this parallel universe that is auctions that most manufacturers are not exposed to. And you feel very humbled because you realize that you don't know much actually when you enter the auction world. And you're like, okay, is this me at 40 years old trying to gain a brand new knowledge of what is exactly classic cars? And I saw the guys, my colleagues in London, looking at cars very differently at what when I used to look at cars. So yes, it was the highlight of my career because we worked from scratch. Sotheby's was present in the region from 2018, but RM Sotheby's was completely unknown to most of the public, I would say, because people who have transacted with the brand, whether it was in Monterey, whether it was in our London or Monaco sales, yes, they were aware of the brand. But 80% of the people that I would talk to on a daily basis were not aware of the brand. So we launched the brand officially in May last year, and you came to the launch.
Yep. Down there at the IFC.
Exactly. Yep. And just short of a year later, to be able to do an auction that was that successful is definitely the highlight of my career.
I mean, congratulations again. I personally, I love the auction scene. But I guess, yeah, I mean, coming from the OEM manufacturer side of thing to an auction house side of thing, you're looking at totally different things. You're looking at provenance. You're looking at history. You're looking at things, whereas it's not, here's the new car, please enjoy it and love it and buy it. It's, yes, it's a car, but did you know this happened to it? This was the owner. It was hidden here. There must be some amazing stories and amazing things that all come together to create the jigsaw to create these beautiful cars.
Yeah. I'm very emotional.
It's also, you've got to have, I suppose, when you're a manufacturer, you've only got the cars that you've got, right? You've got the list. You have to be manufacturer, right? With quote marks in the air. But when you do an auction, you've got to find a list of cars that is interesting. You've got to get the right mix of cars as well, because you can't have all multi-million dollar cars. You've got to have stuff that for everybody. So that, well, not everybody, but certainly a range, right? And different brands, different marks, different stories, etc. So that must be a bit of a challenge as well, having to think about how to do that.
Yeah. It is, and I work with this, like, literally fantastic company, because one of our advantages or one of our strengths is that we employ only passionate people. It's truly, when you speak about, when you speak to any of our colleagues, whether junior or very senior, they all have stories, which is not the case when you work for manufacturers, because there are some people that just ended up there because, you know, they need a paycheck, or, and I'm not judging it. It's all right. You don't have to be passionate to work in cars to be an accountant, for example. But in the auction world, 99.9% of those people are passionate people. And when you talk about provenance, we have a dedicated research team that is based in London that is, I call them the chief encyclopedia team, because the stories that they have is unbelievable. And whether it's a helmet or whether it's the 1957 car or the 1935 replica that we had of La Voiture Noire from Bugatti.
Beautiful, yes.
Beautiful.
Yes.
They all have like endless stories or of when they met this Formula One driver or Ferruccio Lamborghini or whoever. And this shows in our auctions. It transpires in the selection and curation that we diversify to create this kind of, you cannot be mistaken when you transact with us, because we've already did that due diligence.
I guess to give you a very quick example, I just picked up on this yesterday. It's an amazing story. There's a guy who owned a, in the UK, owned a Porsche 911 2.7 RS, early 1975 model thereabout. Beautiful car. And his father bought it from the show for a secondhand off the dealer's yard. It was just advertised as a 2.7 RS, a lovely car. Got in the car. They did the deal. They'd exchanged money, the whole lot, literally driving out. And just as he's driving off the forecourt, and I think this comes back to the, say, the difference between a person selling cars and someone who's a, who's an enthusiast in terms of an auction sense. Just as they're driving off, they said, oh, by the way, did you know this car used to belong to Hesketh Racing, and this was James Hunt's car. Bye. So the guy now still owns James Hunt's Porsche, which has probably quadrupled the value of the car. So, yeah, amazing stuff. But look, stick around. We got we could carry on for another hour about this. We're going to talk more about this in a moment. Geeta Medjithi, joining us from RM Sotheby's. We're talking about the classic car auction and a whole lot more in terms of what's happening in this. I'm Damien Reid with Nolan Nimchan, and this is Motormania, Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Motormania on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yes, welcome back to Motormania. I'm joined in the studio by Noel Ebden in Changiato, and we're still here, of course, with Rita Medji, the current Vice President of the Middle East and Africa at RM Sotheby's, and we're talking all things with classic cars and all that kind of stuff. One question I've known you for a long, long time now, Rita, is I've never asked you, what influenced you? What made you decide to get involved in the automotive scene?
What influenced me? It's definitely not my parents. It's definitely it was definitely not in my household. But I think I was 14 when I was watching a Formula One race at Imola. I think in that year it was Senna's accident.
Yes. Yeah.
And it just stuck in my mind. I was just like, how can a sport that looks simple from outside of, you know, like cars turning around a track, be so fatal to someone? There has to be some kind of, you know, passion behind it. And then, you know, you create the passion. So I came to Dubai in 2000, and then I met some amazing people along the way. One that you know, Umberto Cini, that
I met Umberto.
In 2004 in the showroom. And back then, they didn't have, you know, the Maserati representation. He was the only one. So he's the one that introduced me to Edwin Fenech, who was the GM of Ferrari back then. And this is how it all started.
Amazing stuff. Isn't it interesting? Like, I don't know. I mean, from such a tragic event that impacted everyone, whether involved in the auto industry or not, everyone remembers the Ayrton Senna accident in Imola. Mm. And so many people have said that that's influenced them in some way or another to either get involved in the industry, started getting an interest in Formula One or an interest in motor cars or classic cars. I mean, it's remarkable that something so tragic can
I think it reminds you that time is short and you better make the most of it. And if you have any kind of passion, you need to follow it as soon as possible. Not later, not tomorrow.
I met an engineer, a Mercedes engineer, who switched from powertrain to safety after the after Senna's accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he was like, right, okay, we need to make cars safer. So
there was a huge discussion immediately, like in the minutes of that happening. Mm. Some knee jerk stuff, but then they went back and sorted it all out and everything else. But yeah, I mean, I remember that day so clearly. It was
You have that kind of I don't want to call them celebrities, but people who truly mark the world that actually bring something very personal to the tragedy that happened. That almost makes you connected further to the industry they're in. I'm talking about Niki Lauda. I'm talking about Senna. I'm talking about Elvis Presley. Mm. You know what I mean? Those people have marked so much our heart, the way that we consume music or sports or whatever, that you actually start being interested in the subject or the matter because of their personalities.
Yeah, James Dean, another one.
Yeah. But that all leads back to passion, right? And we've just driven, a Morgan and a Mazda MX-5, right? They're passion cars, right?
Yeah, and the Mustang, throw the Mustang in as well.
Yeah, look at how long's the Mustang been around? People absolutely...
1964.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
60 people, years.
And how many generations?
Seven.
Ah, sorry, good. Excellent, you're listening. And it must be the same with your auctions as well. Those cars, it's all about passion, right? People aren't buying... I mean, yes, a lot of people speculate on them, but they're a passionate thing, right?
But that's the thing. And what I love about the collection of cars you had down there is it's so eclectic. There was so many different styles. So obviously the hero car was the beautiful Bugatti. You had the Aston Martin Valkyrie as well as a new end of the scale. My personal favourite, the Renault R5 Turbo.
Me too.
Loved it.
So all of those cars, Renault R5
Yes,
Turbo.
Yes, absolutely. It's been one of my dream cars since forever, and it's got a price to reflect that now, so unfortunately it's not in my budget. But just so many people have different desires and different passions
for
cars.
Maybe their desire isn't necessarily for a car that talks to them, but for a car that speaks to them through the way it interacts with you, the way it touches
them. That was very deep.
So we're running out of time now. So this time's drifting away. What advice would you give, and I'd ask this to all the women that join us in the studio, but what from your side of things, what would you say to a young woman who wants to come
to
in
a
and
young woman,
join the industry?
The first advice, and again, it's not an advice. I think it's out of my own experience that I could, you know, relate to, is to seek alliances with men allies, such as the three men in this room right now that I've been working. And I will, Damien, you were the first one to believe in me when I started this whole thing. So seek alliances is extremely important because we do have allies in the automotive industry. The second thing is I'm going to use my word very wisely, make abstraction of certain obstacles and keep the goal on your focus line, because you will have a lot of obstacles because we have so much to do in the automotive industry, especially around the woman presence, but not every obstacle needs our attention. That would be my two main things.
Fantastic advice. Fantastic. Right, so let's do a quick fire round with you while we've got you here. What was your first car?
Honda Civic, useless.
Oh, I know some people that'd be very upset with that one. But yeah,
no, it was not even like a special. No, it was completely useless.
Yeah, right.
This might answer my second question. What was your worst car?
Honda Civic.
Honda sponsorship now.
Your dream car?
Oh, it's a 964.
It's a good choice. Good choice.
Nice.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Formula One before. Do you have a team?
Sadly, I don't watch it as I used to watch before.
Yeah.
It's not changed. The same. It's
because it's not
a lot.
My voice anymore, is it?
Oh, quick, got that in quick.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm not worried about that at all. what's your favorite classic car?
My favorite classic car, I have to say I have many. But the Pagoda stays on top of a lot of lists.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That's a good choice.
I'm hoping to have another auction in Dubai, and I'm hoping to have one very special one that will come up in Dubai.
Can you bid on it?
Me personally, no.
what's your favorite classic car, Nishan?
Oh, you know what? It's funny we've been talking about it. I would still say the 64 Mustang, the very first
there
one.
There you go. The six-cylinder?
Yes, of course. No, of course not. V8, four-speed, I think that would do me fine. Yeah, 289. Yeah.
No?
P4 Ferrari.
Mm. Mm.
Just the great, one of the most beautiful cars ever built.
Yeah. Isn't that a race car?
Yes.
Yeah.
So where are you going to drive it?
On the street.
You can put it on the street.
I mean,
yeah. I'll stick some indicators on it. It'll be fine.
Some track.
Yeah.
You'll buy a piece of track.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, why not? Course,
you go racing and you'll win because you've only won racing as usual.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's how I did it last
time.
For
me, I think I'd have to be, I don't know.
It's like, got to be an
as
alpha.
You know. No, but I do like the alphas, but alpha. Nothing goes, for me, goes past the design and the style.
Hugo.
Not quite. Although it was Gandini, wasn't it? Yeah. Lancia Aurelia.
Lancia Aurelia. What do all these cars have in common?
B24 Spider in particular, the convertible.
Ooh. Super cool.
I drove beautiful a Yugo, cars. By the way. I drove a Yugo 55 once. It was the worst car I've ever driven.
Come on, let's.
I had to go in the crawler lane for the trucks going uphill because it was that slow.
Look, we could carry on like this. Let's just bring lunch in. Let's carry on. But anyway,
yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. Absolute pleasure as always to have you in the Dubai Eye studio. You're always welcome whenever you want to come back.
Thank you so
to join
much.
Us.
Thanks a lot, Damien. It was a really pleasure to be here today.
We'll
Thanks.
Be at the next auction, 1,000%. Intashan, Noel, thank you so much. Pleasure
always
doing the
pleasure.
Show with you as always.
No worries.
And Naz Chowdhury, who was in earlier, thank you again, Naz. We'll see you again in just a couple of weeks' time, and we'll join us again for another edition of Motor Mania on Dubai Eye 103.8.